This is a Montbold Christian Fellowship sermon podcast. We hope you find this message enjoyable and inspiring.
I'm not saying that you are eagles and not humans. I am saying that God uses the eagle as an example to define how he cares for us. And in Deuteronomy 32, there's an example there where God explains that like the eagle does this, or like as the eagle does this, so I do this for you, because I love you and I care for you, and this is what I want you to be and to do. Like an eagle mounts up, so I desire for you to mount up as well. You are Christians who are destined to make things happen. Even if you can't see the full picture, you must get to a higher personal vantage point than you presently occupy in your personal spiritual journey, and understand and comprehend and believe that what God has planned for this church and yourself as time progresses is far bigger than any of you or even myself can imagine. You will influence people, their opinions and their actions, because you're based in Jesus Christ, the most influential person in history. You are rooted in the Word of God, and you are filled with and empowered by the Holy Spirit. You add value to this community with solutions and practical services like Lismore that actually help. We equip folk to serve, to lead, and to minister God's grace into others. We live up to our commitments, whatever the cost. We possess the greatest attitude imaginable, one of service and saving souls, of imparting, of building people up. We will produce numerous disciples who will in turn disciple others. It's begun already, and I'm telling you, it will not stop. And besides all of that, you stink pretty good as well. Would you turn to the person on the right and say, "You are triumphant righteous." Oh, say it with passion and meaning. Come on. You are triumphant. You are righteous. And turn to the person on the left and say, "You stink okay as well." Now, how do I know that? Because 2 Corinthians 2:14 says, "But thanks be to God who always," everybody say always, always, not sometimes, always, "leads us in triumphal procession in Christ, and through us spreads everywhere the fragrance of the knowledge of him." Look to the person on the right and say, "See, you do stink pretty good. You got the fragrance of heaven about you, the aroma of Christ." When an eagle up on that high rocky mount looks east, the first thing that greets him in the morning are the initial light rays of the rising sun. And if you've been up in the Grampians or somewhere like that, as I've been early in the morning, you can hear the great wedge-tailed eagles screeching in delight as they greet those first rays of morning. And I imagine that when you and I see Jesus rising with healing in his wings, coming in his glory, you are going to be hooting and hollering and screeching with absolute delight. The only problem with that is you're waiting till then instead of doing it now. Matthew 4:2-3, "But for you who revere my name," see, that's a condition, "you who revere my name, the Son of Righteousness will rise with healing in its wings, and you will go out and leap like calves released from the stall." That's the word for you, Sandy. "And then you will trample down the wicked. They will be ashes under the soles of your feet on the day when I do these things, says the Lord Almighty." I want to tell you right now, when Jesus turns up, we won't be acting polite. We won't be acting respectable. We won't be politically correct. It was impossible for the people to retain any air of dignity or decorum when Jesus came in triumph into Jerusalem. So don't expect conservative respectability from us when the Holy Spirit pours himself out in our worship services. When the Holy Spirit pours himself upon Montbold, I tell you, it will be orderly, it will be decent, but I tell you too, it will be bedlam. Undignified. Whoa. You know, one of David's wives said, what you just did was so undignified. You know, God closed up her womb. Didn't want that spirit passed on to the following generations. 1 Corinthians 14:40, which is the verse that the head gobblers always tell us, is let all things be done decently and in order. Now, that actually means honestly, decently, perhaps decorously. It really means a regular arrangement, a succession of things throughout the service with that certain level of spiritual dignity. I want to tell you that verse never, ever, ever, ever meant conservative traditionalism. The emphasis is an honest, decent expression, an arrangement of successive things, an order that would give ecstatic worship, spirit and truth to God. Honest and decent worship and an honest and decent progress through the service and the business of the church. So what is decent and what is honest for the King of Kings and Lord of Lords? Well, singing, music, adulation, adoration, worship, honour, prophecy, tongues, glory, praise, shouting, exaltation, expressive celebration. Luke 19:37-40, when he came near the place where the road goes down, the Mount of Olives, the whole crowd of disciples began joyfully to praise God in loud voices for all the miracles they had seen. Blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord. Peace in heaven, glory in the highest. Hosanna. And some of the Pharisees in the crowd said to Jesus, Teacher, rebuke your disciples. I tell you, he replied, if they keep quiet, the stones will cry out. No matter how the enemy tries to wreck my voice this morning, he's not going to win. Pharisees today try to shut us up as well. But I tell you that if we become silent, those stones will cry out, and I'm not going to be outdone by a stone or a modern day Pharisee. We believers welcome the Lord Jesus when he comes into our hearts on the wind of the Holy Spirit. When he comes into our worship to inhabit the praises of his saints. When through the presence of the Holy Spirit he enters into our worship service and ministry to pour out himself upon us and to receive the praise and the glory that is due him. I'm not going to be quiet. I won't be conservative. Not until that moment when the Lord begins to speak to us through individual Christians with real prophecy and the word. When the King speaks, I'll be silent. Out of reverential respect, of course, but also because I don't want to miss one vital word that he wants to share with us, because his words are life. That's why you must speak out when he speaks through you. At those times when we open up the service for prophecy, otherwise we miss it, and that could be vital for someone, and the opportunity is lost. I'm not talking about what you might think or feel or imagine, or after too much pizza and coke had a funny little urge about it. I'm not talking about someone trying to correct, judge or overcome somebody else. I'm talking about the Holy Spirit using you as his divine instrument to edify, encourage, inform and build this church up. We've got to hear it. Jesus is entering into this church triumphant, or is not entering into it at all. I will shout, praise the Lord. I, for one, want to cry out hallelujah. And you know, hallelujah is not a request, it's a directive. Hallel means praise. Yah is short for praise God. That little connective vowel there means you. Hallelujah means you praise God. Amen?
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Okay. The door's been opened. Lots of you can go through it. Good. The Bible gives us the eagle as an example. And I want to bring you a few more points about the eagle to help us understand what God's saying in the natural, revealing to us a real truth in the spiritual. First point I want to say about the eagle is he has balance. The eagle has two sets of eyelids. One set for down on the earth and another set for on high when he's looking into the sun, the wind, and the distance. And once again, we see balance in varying circumstances. The eagle can soar with little or no effort because it can balance the spread of its wings and the angles of its flight feathers to the warm currents rising from the earth. It doesn't matter what day it or what it is. Whatever its circumstances are, it takes those circumstances and uses them to its advantage. Did you hear that, Christians? Okay? When the circumstances of life come, don't be bewailing and moaning and groaning and groveling and sniveling. You know, there's not enough snot rags for you for that. You're meant to take the circumstances and use them to your advantage. The eagle is well balanced. Some Christian women are so super spiritual that they continually neglect their work, their children, their husbands, because they're doing something spiritual for the Lord. Some Christian men are so super spiritual they don't provide for their families. They are continually absent from the home. They escape their God-given responsibility because I'm seeking the Lord. If you want to be an eagle Christian, I assure you, you will fly into experiences of ecstasy that you can't describe. Paul was caught up into paradise in 2 Corinthians 12:4. He heard inexpressible things, things that man is not permitted to tell. That's pretty good. That's pretty cool. I want that, and I'm sure you want it as well. But if you follow his life through, you find him soon after that event, he's on the seashore sewing tents for a living. Balance. See, Paul did not live with his head in the clouds, so he was caught up into the heavenlies and had profound revelations continuously. He knew in this one place, this little place called Corinth, he had to go about life differently. Unlike some teach, pastors aren't expected to earn their own living. The church is supposed to supply God his tithe, and God pays the pastor. But in this one place, the balance that Paul had, he knew that he had to demonstrate to the Corinthians his ability to give them the gospel free of any cost to them. So he worked and earned so that no one could say, we paid for this. We paid for this. Paul never taught that ministers should stay celibate. Just chose that circumstance for himself because of the dangers and the workload he endured, which would have made it impossible for a wife and children. That's balance. That's wisdom. And triumphant people, have you noticed? They're vibrant. They're godly. They're holy. They're enthusiastic. They're sold out for Jesus type people who know they also have certain liberties, but also understand they have definite duties and responsibilities. They're balanced. They're not mueslies, nuts, fruits, and flakes. They're balanced. If there's a hallmark I hope this church has, is that when people see what God does here, they're not only going to say, wow, they're going to say, my goodness, they're so balanced. It's so easy to hear the gospel from them. You know, they're ordinary. They're normal. But they're supernatural. Being a victorious Christian, being a spiritual person, being an eagle Christian, being an MCFer, never lets you off the hook of your human, local family responsibilities. And any man or woman who cops out on his or her family, their children, their church, cheats his employer in the name of super spirituality is not an eagle. He's a turkey. And the sooner he's plucked, basted, and roasted, the better for the lot of us. Here's my second point. Eagles are alert and they will fight. The eagle, Job 39, 27, 29. Does the eagle soar at your command and build his nest on high? He dwells on a cliff and he stays there at night. A rocky crag is his stronghold, and from there he seeks out his food and his eyes detect it from afar. Eagles have vision 8 to 10 times better than ours, but they use it. Some of us don't see things right in front of us. Paul tells Timothy twice, fight the good fight of the faith. And I want to tell you a secret in translating those words. Fight means, oh, fight. Fight. Take hold deliberately, forcefully, possessively of the eternal life to which you were called when you made your good confession in the presence of many witnesses. The eagle is long-sighted. He sees trouble coming. He anticipates danger and is alert to it. And when he is planning to act for his next victory, before it comes, the eagle is alert and equipped for the storm coming. And often as pastors, we can talk to people and we can talk to where, I don't know, blue in the face, you know, tired of saying the same thing to them, and then it happens to them. They say, oh, I didn't see that coming. Turkeys have no idea what's coming. They're too busy strutting their stuff, lifting their tails, waggling their wattles, hiding in the bushes like some spiritual flasher. They have no idea what's really going down, and that's why the supermarket shelves are full of them. Mark 13:33, be on guard, be alert. You do not know when that time will come. Ephesians 6:18, and pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for all the saints. 1 Thessalonians 5:6, so then let us not be like others who are asleep, but let us be alert and self-controlled. Do you see the balance in that? 1 Peter 5:8, be self-controlled and alert. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour. I want to tell you a story about a pastor. And he was bequeathed a parrot by Miss Bloggs in the church, and it was in her will. However, the parrot swore terribly and embarrassed the pastor no end. And he tried everything to get it turned around, to change its habits, but it was stubborn. And exasperatedly, after a dreadful outburst in front of the ladies for temperance guild, he thrust the bird in the freezer to cool it down. There's a knock on the door from inside the freezer. And the parrot asked if he might be forgiven his dreadful sins. He's repenting, I've learnt the error of my ways. As the pastor put him on the perch, the parrot said, what did the turkey do? See, turkeys are busy with mundane things. They're caught up with specks in the eyes of other poultry, pulling down fellow brothers and sisters, selfish interests, working out things to their own advantage, never alert to the enemy approaching. But the eagle Christian is alert. He watches, he prays, he works with a trowel in one hand and a two-edged sword in the other. He protects his family, he protects his brothers and sisters. He's alert. He brings his flesh into submission so that the spirit is free. Eagles don't tarry, they hasten to the prey. They spot it a long way off. They immediately discern the appropriate plan of attack, check out the places of refuge the enemy or prey might head for, and then attack fast and efficient, blocking all routes of escape so that the enemy ends in their talons and not the other way round. Eagle Christians don't wait for the devil to get them, they get him first. Eagle Christians don't wait for the problem to emerge. They solve it. They strike it down before it raises its ugly little head. Mistakes, we all make them, but they don't have to be permanent. A mistake is simply a little error unless you refuse to do something about it. Eagle Christians nip things in the bud early. Eagle Christians know what it is to resist the devil. They watch him trying to flee, but he doesn't escape their deadly blows. Here's my third point. Eagles address threats immediately. Folks, don't wait for the enemy to walk all over you. The Bible says he's under your feet. Can you all say that? He's under my feet. He's under your feet. It's not the other way round. As soon as you see the clouds approaching, meet it head on in the full armor of God, praying in the Spirit. Quell that little tempest before it gets to be a storm. An eagle addresses the enemy immediately. He doesn't tolerate encroachment on his territory. I do not tolerate encroachment on my family, on my kids or my grandkids. Wherever and whenever the enemy shows up, he's just going to get dressed down. He uses that great beak and he pecks him to death. And when Jesus addressed the serpent in the wilderness in Luke 4, he used the word of God and pecked the devil out of his wilderness experience. He said, "It is written." And you have to be able to say that with confidence, but you can only say it with confidence if you know that it is written. Keeping your word. It is written. You know, if she can, Eagle takes that serpent in her giant talons of strength and carries that critter way up into the heavenlies and finds a rocky outcrop. And with pinpoint accuracy, better than our 21st century guided missiles, she can drop that snake on the rock, crushing it, breaking its back. I like dropping the devil on the rock called Jesus. That's what it means when you use the term in the name of Jesus. You're dropping him right in it and right on it, the rock. Jesus, who has disarmed rulers and powers and made an open show of them, rendering their works harmless against the believer, giving you and I authority over the enemy. He's the rock. 2 Corinthians 2:14, but thanks be to God, who always leads us in triumphal procession in Christ, and through us spreads everywhere the fragrance of the knowledge of him. Remind the person next to you, you still stink good. Good. Then it goes on, for we are to God the aroma of Christ among those who are being saved and those who are perishing. Have you ever thought of that when you walk around? I am the aroma of God. How awesome is that? Both to the saved and the perishing. You smell pretty good. To the one, we're the smell of death. To the other, the fragrance of life. And who is equal to such a task? And the key words are always and triumphal in Christ. You know, some churches have preached tremor and terror of the devil to the believers for far too long. I want to tell you today, it's turkey theology. We're not to be afraid of the devil. I'm not saying that we ought not to underestimate him. I'm not saying that he is without power. I am saying, in agreement with what is written in 1 John 4:4, greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. Exercise it. You'll be amazed at what happens. You will be transformed. I'm saying that you have authority over him. I'm saying he can't make you do anything. It's your choice. So what's it to be? Grab him up in your talons and drop him from a great height on the rock of Christ? Or are you going to run off into the bush and hide because you hear him coming? As a young Christian, I was taught to fear him. Oh, don't talk about the devil, don't talk about demons, just enjoy having them. God help me. When the religious leaders wouldn't or couldn't, God got me to believe his word and not their word. Fourth point, don't be caged. Eagles are clean birds when they're free, but often dirty and unkempt when they are caged. I want to tell you, some Christians are the same. When a Christian becomes caged, trapped in a box, bound, put behind the bars of religion rather than Christianity, that Christian always fouls his nest. Paul declares in Galatians 5:1, it is for freedom that Christ has set us free. It's past tense. Can we all yell out, I'm free?
I'm free.
That's the most noise you've made in church for ages. I'm free. Christ says I'm free. I'm free. I'm not waiting to be free. I am free. Is that right, Lynn? Yeah, okay. Now, 2 Corinthians 3:17. Now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, do you see that condition there? Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. Not license. Not confusion, not disorder, but godly liberty. And that liberty is balanced by responsibility. They go hand in hand. You know, it's bondage when the head gobbler comes down the aisle and says, you're too free. come on, get in my box. You're too free. I don't like it at all. You know, you smell the ropes of bondage. Edwin Orr was researching the Welsh Revival, and he went to hear a great preacher speaking in a little country church just over the Scottish border. A great point was made, and he exclaimed, "Praise the Lord!" Well, along came head gobbler, tapped him on the shoulder and said, "There'll be no praising the Lord in this kirk, mum." Don't let anyone put you in a box where you become a dirty bird. Of course, we submit to the authority that God places over us. Of course, we submit to the elders and members of this church. Of course, we commit to this local church where God has planted us, and we serve the Lord as part of the body of Christ. God's intent, though, is that under church, under covering, under authority, in submission, there he can mold, shape, and train you up and teach you what real liberty and freedom is all about. A place where he is the head, because in such a place you will never be caged. You know, there's no such thing as freelance ministry or maverick Christianity. Once upon a time, Lynn and I discovered we were in a box. It was a denominational box, which precluded the activity of the Holy Spirit. I'm not in a box anymore. And I'll never go into one again. I'm not going to be chained and prevented from going into the heavenlies. I won't let them pluck my or your flight feathers, because I have the liberty and the freedom, as well as the responsibility, to soar on wings as an eagle. And Christ gave me that freedom. God uses an eagle to convey his love and care and my destiny to me. He's never used a turkey once. Turkeys aren't mentioned in the Bible at all, but their relative is. He's called Fool, and he comes up at least 85 times. Who wants to look in on a caged church? Bitterness, deceit, jealousies, backbiting, envy, malice, pride, friction, division, gossip, politics, animosity, self-seeking, selfish ambition. It's dirty to God. It's soiled cages. Jesus came to set us free from all of that. And I want us to be free. Misery wants company. Have you noticed that? Misery can never be miserable on their own. They want company. And the misery guts, negative Christians, want you in there with them, because they don't have the guts to break out in Christ and get free. Don't let them foul your nest. Oh, I don't want to walk on water. Oh, I don't want to go on that evangelical tour of Monbulk. Oh, I want to stay in the security of the boat. Oh, I don't want to fly in case my parachute doesn't open. You know, lives that are turkeyized because they've never tasted what it is to be free as God intends us to be. They hunger and long for it. They come up the line, but they never cross the line. They retreat for another 40 years in the wilderness. Church, that's not us. Cross the line. They die back there. I'm going to die up there, way out in front. I'm not waiting round to die in some desert. They want to soar, but they're so self-conscious they can't even raise a wing to worship the Lord without thinking, oh, they'll think I'm an idiot. I think that sentence is self-explanatory. Fear has kept them captive and dominates them. That's why you can have hundreds of turkeys in a given area, but only a few eagles. That's why there's only a few eagles at the top of a ladder and hundreds of turkeys milling around the bottom. But no box, no cage for me, and I hope for you. Because we are going to soar into the heavenlies. We are going to shout our praise to the Lord at the first light of dawn, every dawn, because I have liberty and I have freedom and Christ's given it to me, and I'm going to thank him every time for it. Fifth point, renewal. You doing okay? No one's walked out yet? No? Good, good. They're getting ready to fly. Good. I have the power of self-renewal available to me, and every day I come before the Lord seeking him, renew my spirit, allow the Holy Spirit to the power to renew my mind as well. Psalm 103, Praise the Lord, O my soul, all my inmost being, praise his holy name. Praise the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgives all your sins and heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from the pit, crowns you with love and compassion, who satisfies your desires with good things, so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. You know? Thank God for that second birth. When the eagle gets sick, he molts. His feathers begin to fall out, but he knows what to do. He finds a rock in the sun. He sits upon that rock. He lets the sun do its healing work until the feathers grow back, and then he's off again. And there is a double symbol of Jesus. The Christian sits on the rock, Jesus. He lets the sun of righteousness, Jesus, shine on him until he is healed. He's the rock and he's the healer. Psalm 27 verses 1 to 5 is a good one for you to read. And that's exactly what we're to do. We're to sit upon the rock and let Jesus shine on us until we're healed, whether that's physical healing, emotional healing, spiritual healing that you're in need of. Let Jesus bathe you in the medicinal balm of his spirit and his healing. Oh, what peace we often forfeit. Oh, what needless pain we bear because we do not carry everything to God in prayer. When you are being tried, God will let you languish on purpose to see if you will come to him for supernatural healing. And it's your choice. Are you after him or do you seek out the storm forces of Egypt? He says, have you learned? Have you remembered? He is your help. He is your strength. He is your fortress. He is your high tower. He is everything you need and more, and his name is Jesus. The only place for renewal for you and me is on the rock. That's where we rest until our health is restored. Sixth point, almost there. We're on the last run home. Faith. Eagles have what seems to me a sense of faith. Eagle Christians, MCFers, must have faith. You won't survive without faith. You can't please God in anything you do without faith. The eagle is one of the few birds that lays its eggs when it is still snowing. You know why? It knows spring is coming. It has faith. Spring is coming. Come on, Hetty, let's get those buns in the oven and get those eggs hatched. Spring is coming. Wow. When you can say in the winter time of your experience, when everything is falling apart, when nothing is holding you up, when it seems that you're not going to make it, when you can say like Job as an act of faith, that spring is coming. Though he slay me, yet will I trust him. Every act of faith is simply laying an egg in the snow, believing that spring is on your doorstep. You're seeing the invisible. You're witnessing to something for which there is no visible evidence. You're preaching when you don't see the fruit. You're abiding in Jesus when it doesn't seem that your prayers are being answered, let alone heard. You're standing on the rock of his word and not on your own emotions. You believe God despite the evidence surrounding you. That's faith. John 15:7, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, you shall ask what you will and it shall be done for you. I want to see the evidence of that. Ask and I'll hatch your egg in the snow. That's exactly what God is saying. The condition is that you abide in him. 1 John 2:6 tells you how to do that. He says, he that says he abides in him ought himself also so to walk, even as he walked. So you walk by faith, not by sight. You walk led by the Spirit, not by your passions. You do what God says to do and say what God tells you to say. You walk in obedience to his word and not your version of it. You know, there's a lie out there in the world that says that the church is going out in defeat. No revival. It's just becoming more irrelevant and will soon disappear. Let me assure you, no, it will not. Not because I said it, because Jesus said it. It won't. The gates of hell shall not prevail. Jesus is returning for his bride. There's nothing else between us and his return. The church which will be free of spot or blemish, hallelujah. It will be a beautiful bride, it will and is victorious. And I can say it because Jesus said it, and that's one of my eggs in the snow. The Lord Jesus Christ founded this church. He named it MCF. He is its head. I'm standing on the rock on that, and nothing is going to budge me from it. God has saved the best wine till last. You're a good drop. You know, old wine was spilt, but the new wine didn't dribble a drop. The church is triumphant. The latter house's glory will be greater than the former house's glory. The latter rain produces more than the former rain. Even Job knew it, way back in Job 19. For I know that my Redeemer liveth, and that he shall stand at the latter day upon the earth. My final point, and this is not prophetic for any person around my age or older. Exiting gloriously. The eagle doesn't live on this earth forever. And in this form, neither do you or I, but we know we live eternally. Eagle watchers all seem to say that when the eagle comes to die, he rests with his face turned towards the sun. And I think, is there a better way to go out for us? Looking into the face of the sun. What triumphant deaths have been recorded, even in this church, by those we have loved, admired, and whose hearts have been set upon the Lord Jesus Christ. They lived loving the Son and passed from this life looking full into his wonderful face. And when you and I stand before the presence of our Lord and Saviour, before God Almighty, it won't be how much money you've made that'll count. It won't be what you've built or torn down. It won't be your average Sunday morning attendance. It won't be how many times you remove specks from someone else's eyes. It will be, did you believe? Were you faithful? Amen. 2 Corinthians 7:1, since we have these promises, dear friends, let us purify ourselves from everything that contaminates body and spirit, perfecting holiness out of reverence for God. Was there a desire to be triumphant in your life? Did you ever want to soar like an eagle? Did you follow Jesus? John 16:8, when he comes, he will convict the world of guilt in regards to sin and righteousness and judgment. See, it's the Holy Spirit's job to convict of sin. Sorry to just have sacked half of us. It's his job. We've done it well, but it's his job. You know what I'm looking forward to? I'm looking forward to the day when God turns up and somebody starts running down the aisle, not just saying, I want to be saved, I want Jesus, but saying, I want his righteousness because I don't have any. You know, that the Holy Spirit would convict them of sin and of righteousness. That will be awesome. I'm going to believe that's a real salvation. Wow. You know, the old covenant was a ministry of condemnation. The new covenant is a ministry of righteousness. And when a man lives up to the image that he has of himself, he's a turkey. But when he lives up to the image of God in him, then he is something to behold. She is something to behold. That person is an eagle. So start acting like who God made you to be. Start laying a few more eggs in the snow. Start soaring on wings as an eagle. Start standing on the rock. Start jumping off the edge and spreading your wings. Get your vision on that rock. Get your life together around that rock and not from worldly pursuits. 1 John 3, 2-3. Dear friends, now we are children of God. Everyone say that? Children of God. And what we will be has not yet been made known, but we know that when he appears, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. And everyone who has his hope in him purifies himself just as he is pure. Church, if we're going to be his instrument, then purify yourself. I want to give you a charge. He's made you righteous. Start living like it. He's made you a child, a son of God. Start acting like one. He's given you every gift in the heavenlies. You're blessed with every spiritual blessing. Act and behave accordingly. The only problem we have is that you've got to let it out. You have to choose to start soaring. You have to learn to catch the wind of the Spirit and fly. You have to do that or remain a spiritual cripple the rest of your life. As blunt as that sounds, I'm trying to be kind. I want to give you 10 two-lettered words in one sentence. Now, this sentence is based on the premise that God is willing, the Lord Jesus Christ has saved you, and the Holy Spirit indwells you. Everything's possible. Everything is set for a victorious life. Just one thing is needed, and that's your cooperation. Here's the sentence. If it is to be, it is up to me. If it's to be, it's up to me. Not the person next to you, you. Every aspect of the eagle has been recorded. It's done in Scripture to raise all of us to the awareness of who and what we are in Christ Jesus. Once the people didn't believe what God said of them, they wandered aimlessly for 40 years until the unbelief died. And the new generation believed God and they came out fighting in the power of what God said they were. They took a land and lived in the richness and the abundance and the joy of the prosperity that God poured out upon them. I believe we're that generation. I love the generation coming, but I think it begins with us. I'm not waiting for them. I'm going to do it now. And they can catch on. Catch up if they can. Pam, would you come up and play, please? So here's the choice. Do you want the abundance of God, the promises of God, or do you want the despair of the world? I'm going to ask you to stand and we bow our heads. Would you stand, please?
Thanks for listening. And please check out our website or come and visit us at Monbold Christian Fellowship.